right, so again, we have a group of scripture readers that are going to read, and we're going to just hold on that for, let's do the scripture readers we have now, and we'll hold on the African readers. I don't think our African readers are here, so David and Josh and Anthony and Heidi, come on up. They're all going to be reading out of the same passage, out of 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Anthony will get us started in English, and then we've got several other languages that are going to be read. And again, just to give us a sense of this passage that we're going to be considering this morning, we are going to be starting into a new series here in 1 John. So this is kind of our first opportunity to look into this book.
Again, from 1 John 1, 1 through 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you may too have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete.
La parole de vie. Ce qui était dès le commencement, ce que nous avons entendu, ce que nous avons vu de nos yeux, ce que nous avons contemplé et que nos mains touchées concernant la parole de vie. Car la vie a été manifestée, que nous l'avons vue et nous lui rendons témoignage. Et que nous annonçons la vie éternelle qui était auprès du Père et qui nous a été manifestée. Ce que nous avons vu et entendu, nous vous l'annonçons à vous aussi, afin que vous aussi vous soyez en communion avec nous. Or, nous communions avec le Père et son Fils Jésus-Christ. Et nous écrivons ces choses, afin que nos joies soient parfaites. Dieu est lumière, marchez dans la lumière, la confession des péchés, le pardon par Jésus-Christ.
O que era desde o princípio, o que temos ouvido, o que temos visto com nossos próprios olhos, o que temos contemplamos e as nossas mãos apalparam, com respeito ao verbo da vida, e a vida se manifestou. E nós a temos visto, e dela damos testemunho, e vô-la anunciamos, a vida eterna, a qual estava com o Pai e nos foi manifestada. O que temos visto e ouvido, anunciamos também a vós outros, para que vós, igualmente, mantenhas comunhão conosco. Ora, a nossa comunhão é com o Pai e com o Seu Filho, Jesus Cristo. Estas coisas, pois, vos escrevemos para que a nossa alegria seja completa.
Yohan 1서 1장 세상이 창조되기 전부터 계신 생명의 말씀이신 그리스도에 대하여 우리들은 고 우리 눈으로 떡적히 보았으며 손으로 직접 만져보았습니다. 이 생명이 세상에 나타나셨습니다. 우리는 영원한 생명이 되시는 그리스도를 직접 보았으므로 그분을 여러분에게 증거하며 전합니다. 그분은 아버지와 함께 계시다가 우리에게 나타나셨습니다. 우리가 보고 들은 것을 여러분에게 전하는 것은 여러분도 우리와 교제를 갖도록 하기 위한 것입니다. 우리의 교제는 아버지와 그분 아들 예수 그리스도와 같은 교제입니다. 우리는 여러분과 함께 넘치는 기쁨을 나누려고 이 글을 써보냅니다.
生命之道，这生命已经显现出来，我们见过了，现在也做见证。 并向你们宣扬这本来与父同在，又像我们显现过的永远的生命。我们把所看见的、所听见的向你们宣扬，使你们也可以和我们心灵相通。我们是与父和他的儿子耶稣基督心灵相通的。我们写这些事，是要使我们的喜乐永充足。
Give our readers a hand here today. So I want to know, David, if that is a normal speed of reading in Korean, or A little fast, a little fast. Yeah, I thought so. Thank you. I was watching Tyler over here. He was looking up at these readers like, what's going on? Very fun. Fun to think of the far reach of the gospel. Every tongue and tribe and people. Well, Martin Luther King Jr. had a dream. Martin Luther King Jr. had a great dream for the future of our nation. We just celebrated his birthday, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and so that might be fresh on our minds. But he expressed that dream in a great speech, of course, in 1963. And he said, I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. That's a great dream. That's a dream that we all ought to share as followers of Jesus Christ, because we believe that we have all been created in the image of God, that we have inherent value equally before God. So that's a great dream. The Apostle John also had a dream. He had a great vision for the souls of humanity. His dream had to do with eternal life. And we read about it here this morning in this text out of 1 John chapter 1. He talks to them about the word of life. And John would close his little letter, just a 5-chapter letter, but he closes that letter with a very pointed purpose statement. He says, this is why I am writing to you. This is my heart, right? This is my dream. He says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. He expresses it in no uncertain terms. He doesn't leave it to doubt. This is my longing for you, that you will have confidence in your relationship with God, confidence in the fact that you possess eternal life. That is a great dream. That is a great desire. And at some level, John's dream here resonates in every human heart. This is the stuff of a great story. This is the stuff of legend. This is the Holy Grail and the Fountain of Youth. And if you read Harry Potter, it's the Sorcerer's Stone, right? It's all of these different ways of saying it, that we long to live beyond this life. We long to have a life that is connected to eternity. The writer to Ecclesiastes says that God has placed eternity in the hearts of men. So this is we've been wired to want to live. Now, we're going to perhaps do a little baby dedication. There's a new baby born in the African community in the last few weeks. And so one of the things we wanted to do is to pray over that family. They had asked if we could pray over them. And that's a beautiful thing, right? This image of life. And yet, for all the hope and all the life that is before that child, that child does not possess eternal life, right? Even now, in some way of thinking, that child is dying. We're all dying. And we long to have true eternal life. So we want to look here in 1 John chapter 1, the text that has been read, and there's three main movements to this section. The first is what I'm calling eternal life revealed. Right? Eternal life revealed. They didn't know it, couldn't see it before, but now eternal life has been revealed. John writes about this, and he talks about the word of life. The word of life. Do you see it there at the end of verse 1? Touched with our hands concerning the word of life. That's a very interesting expression. We might even think of a word on a page. We're used to reading in a culture such as ours. But this would be more the idea of a spoken word, an expression. You know, we know people and we know what's going on in their heart and in their mind when they speak. Especially some of you are very quiet. You don't talk a lot, and so you're a bit of a mystery, right? Some of you guys, your wives are wondering what is going on in your mind. Usually, I tell my wife, it's nothing. I'm not holding back. I just don't have anything to say. Right? But that's how we get to know someone, right? Is by them speaking to us. And John uses this imagery that the word of life, God is hidden. God is, we say, transcendent. There's the theological term. God is apart from us. He is above us. God is hidden. And yet God has chosen to speak. And he's spoken to us the word of life. Of course, this text here in 1 John 1 is about Jesus. That word is Jesus. Jesus is the expression of the Father. It is through Jesus that we have heard from God in the fullest way. And so he says here that he's talking about the word of life, the end of verse 1. And then he says in verse 2, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it. The life, the word of life, the message of life has been revealed now to us. Now, how could John say that so confidently? He just declares it. The word of life has been revealed. Declares that Jesus was from the beginning. There at the beginning of verse 1 here. That which was from the beginning. Jesus was the giver of life. He existed with the Father in eternity past, the text says. So Jesus existed before anything else existed. Before any life existed. All life has come from Jesus. And he gives several declarations here. He says, which we have heard, right? They heard Jesus' teaching and his claims that he had claimed to be the Messiah. He had claimed to be the I Am, which means the one who has no beginning or no end, right? He is the one who has life in himself. This is what Jesus said, and they heard the teachings of Jesus. They heard Jesus. They also saw his powerful deeds. Not only did they hear, but they saw. They saw Jesus turn the water into wine. They saw Jesus open the eyes of a blind man. They saw Jesus feed the 5,000 with just a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish. They saw Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. they saw it with their own eyes. They heard what Jesus said, and they saw it. And they also studied him and touched him. The text here says that they looked upon him. Now it already said that they saw him. This is a different idea. They looked upon him. They pondered him. They considered him. They studied him. One of the ways this word is translated, they beheld him. They didn't just look with their eyes, but they looked with their mind. And they carefully considered Jesus. And they touched him. It's a reference here specifically to the resurrection. Right? They actually put hands on him and they touched the nail marks in his hands and in his side. Jesus wasn't just a figment of their imagination. The resurrection was not just a mirage. No, they had heard and they saw and they touched. You see, eternal life, the word of life, was revealed to them. The blinders were removed and they saw eternal life in the person of Jesus Christ. I had a life-altering experience October 21st, 2008. A few of us were traveling. My prop is gone. Someone stole my medicine. Anybody have my medicine? Oh, thank you. Throw it over. So I was traveling with Brian Mulda and some other medical people. We were going to Togo, West Africa. We're going to be working with the De Kreigers there. And we were in the Frankfurt airport, had a layover. And predictably, I was feeling very bad. Most of you know that I have some pretty serious motion sickness issues. And so we're sitting there in the airport, and I'm trying to collect myself before I have to get back on another plane. And one of the older doctors approached me with our group, and he said, "Have you ever used a scopolamine patch? A little thing you put behind your ear, right? I've tried Dramamine, and I've tried the little bands that go on pressure points, and all the things that are supposed to help you with motion sickness, and nothing has ever helped whatsoever." So I was skeptical, but I said, I haven't tried it. He said, "Would you want to try it?" I said, "That's fine. I'll do it." And within 30 minutes, I felt better. Not a little bit better. I felt better. And that was a life-changing moment for me, right? I mean, that was just a powerful experience because I do some travel with our missionaries and different things. And so, wow. Right? My eyes were kind of opened to a new reality, right? Because of that medication. And here these, John is writing saying that our eternal life has been revealed to us. We have seen and encountered the source of life. So that's the first movement here in this text. The second is that eternal life is relayed. So we have eternal life revealed, and we have eternal life relayed. They speak about it now, right? Notice what he says, verse 2, "The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us." So two words here that are used that describe what they said. They testified. There's the first word. They testified. This is language of the courtroom, right? They were standing there in the box. Do you Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? I do, right? They are giving sworn testimony that this is what they saw. And it is significant that John does not say, I heard, I saw, I considered, and I touched. Rather, John says, we heard, we saw, we considered, and we touched. One person's testimony was not enough in the ancient world. The matter had to be confirmed in the mouth of two or three witnesses. And so as John writes, John is writing on behalf of the apostles. They had all seen the same thing, and they all had written their accounts in the four Gospels of who Jesus was and what he had said and what he had done. So the first idea there, as this eternal life is relayed, is that of testimony. They testified. They told the truth. They spoke accurately. They spoke thoroughly. We're also told that they proclaimed. This is a louder idea. The idea is not that they testified under oath, but that they declared it. They made it known openly. And this word also has the idea of a commission, that they had been commissioned and urged to go and tell. Jesus had given them this commission, right? Go and make disciples. Tell everyone what you have seen and heard. So the message of eternal life has been declared accurately, openly, and powerfully. Now, since I've stumbled onto the scopolamine patches, I've talked to a few people about it. Every time somebody talks to me about motion sickness or travel, and I'll, hey, have you tried? Right? Not just one person's testimony. I haven't received a commission to do it. No one's paying me to advertise scopolamine patches, right? So it's just kind of happens. I just can't help but talk about it when I get around people who have some of these same ailments. But these disciples, they were giving sworn eyewitness testimony. I mean, it was accurate and thorough. And they were declaring it with authority. They were calling people that this is the source of eternal life. I want you to know about it. This is where life can be found. So eternal life revealed, eternal life relayed, and eternal life received. This is how John kind of concludes this section. And it really captures, again, his dream, what he really is longing for, that others would receive and respond to the offer of eternal life. He, again, is writing for a very specific reason, and this is clear in verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that. This is what he wants to see accomplished. This is how he wants them to respond. This is why he is sharing with them. So that. And he unpacks three outcomes, three results. If people will receive this message of eternal life, there will be three important outcomes. First, eternal life results in fellowship with other believers. See what he says there? So that you too may have fellowship with us. So that you too may have fellowship with us. Fellowship involves a close association involving mutual interests and sharing. And so they were going to be drawn into a close relationship with these apostles. And he sees this to be a really good thing, a really beautiful thing. I'm struck by the fact here that salvation, eternal life, is a package deal. That it involves receiving life, that's kind of in focus here, but it also involves being brought into a community of believers. There's a corporate element to salvation. And John is putting this forward as an implication of salvation, and he's putting it forward as a gift. It's a really good thing. It's good to not be alone. Now, I'm an introvert. I like to be alone. I like to do puzzles, right? I like to read. I like solitude. Maybe that comes with having seven children. I like the... And some of you undoubtedly are like me. I know a lot of you are introverts, right? You think, I like to be alone. I don't necessarily like to be with people. And yet, at the end of the day, I do want people to know me, and I want to know people, and I want to be involved in something that is bigger than myself, right? And the great songwriter talks about, that in the gospel we have mystic sweet communion with those whose rest is one. In other words, in the gospel we have unity not just with one another in this age, but we have union even with those who have gone before us, who have died in the faith. And so there's this sense of being involved in something that is bigger than just my life, right? I mean, we're all going to face death. Unless Jesus returns first, we're all going to die. And there's something in me that I want to have an impact that lasts beyond my death. I want to be involved in something that is bigger than me. And John offers this. He says, part of what happens when you respond and receive the gospel, when you receive eternal life, you become part of this fellowship. Super Bowl today. Won't ask who you're rooting for. Doesn't really matter, but... Hall of Fame announcements were made. Groups of people that have their careers finished in football, but then different ones each year are nominated into the Hall of Fame, and it is a real honor. People wait many years. Sometimes they don't make it in on the first ballot or the first opportunity, and so they announce that, and people give their speech, and they're so grateful to be recognized for their efforts. And everyone wants to be, every football player, every professional player wants to be in the Hall of Fame. They would consider it a great honor to be named among that group. And I find it curious that many professing believers don't want to be identified with the church. I don't know what to make of that. I want to be part of a local church. I've talked to some people who would claim to be followers of Jesus, but they don't go to church. They it's not really important to them. They view their faith just as a private thing. But I want to be labeled. I want to be part of that fellowship. I want to be linked arm in arm with those who have called themselves followers of Christ down through the centuries. And this is part of what is involved in a genuine receiving of the gospel. We have fellowship with other believers. We're joined to something bigger than ourselves. John sees another outcome here. It's another reason why he longs for people to receive the gospel, and that is that eternal life results in fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. See it there in verse 3, again, that which we have seen and heard we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So eternal life is not something that you possess. It is not a thing. Eternal life is a relationship that you enter into. And here the imagery is that of family. Here is the fact that when we enter into this fellowship, it's really a fellowship with God and with his Son, Jesus Christ. What it really is that we are brought into God's family. This is language of family. We are counted as one of his children. That's the primary relationship, isn't it? You might have sibling relationships, blood family, but the primary relationship, you have those sibling relationships because of a more primary relationship, and that is with your parents. And John is saying that when you respond to the gospel, you have fellowship with other believers. But even more than that, you have fellowship with God the Father. You are counted as part of his family. And then a third outcome that John expresses here in verse 4, and that is that eternal life results in the fullness of joy. Eternal life results in the fullness of joy. You see verse 4, and we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Now, if some translations bring this across differently, we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. We are writing these things so that your joy may be complete. There's some question as to exactly what John is saying. Is John saying that when people respond to the gospel, that makes him happy and joyful? Or is he saying that when people respond to the gospel, it makes them joyful? And I think that John is probably using a collective statement here. He's referring to their collective joy. John wanted them to be secure in their relationship with God and to experience all that he had for them. So eternal life results in joy. Now as a family, we're away in December. We went on a cruise in the Caribbean. Doesn't that sound good right about now? We went with my parents. They had 50th wedding anniversary, and so we broke away with them and had a great time. And guess what I took with me? You guessed it, my scopolamine patches, right? And as the days ticked on, I was able to help some of my children deal with their motion sickness, right? And so by the time the trip was done, we We're all using scopolamine patches. I didn't have any, again, I wasn't getting a dividend check for every new person that used a patch. But why I was kind of passionate about it is we were going to be on this cruise for 7 days. Once in a lifetime opportunity, right? I wanted my kids to enjoy it. I wanted them to be able to experience all that was in front of us. And that was going to make them more happy if they were feeling well. And it was going to make me happy to know that they were happy. It was just this big picture of joy that was wrapped up in all of that. And so John, again, has this dream that others will respond to the offer of eternal life. That they will experience the joy. That they will be a part of the fellowship of believers. And even more significantly, that they would be a part of God's family. How many of you were able to see the adoption picture that was floated out on Facebook? We took a picture a few weeks ago of all of the families in the church, all of the adoptive families, and all of those who are doing foster care. And that was beautiful to capture that. We didn't have everybody there, but what a great glimpse of that joyful experience. Some of you know that Dana is caring for a little guy named Levi. And Levi has some physical disabilities, and if you've talked with Dana about it, you've seen the emotion and passion that Dana longs for this little guy to be in a forever family, right? To have the security and joy and provision that comes in a forever family. And we've been praying about that as a congregation, that God would direct in that way. In John's mind, we are like Levi. We are orphans. We are medically fragile. Okay? And John wants us to be a part of a forever family. To be welcomed into God's family with brothers and sisters who care about us and a clear hope for the future. He wants us to have joy in living our lives, not wondering if we've done enough to satisfy some cosmic being. He wants us to live with joy, to be able to live life with a sense of confidence and security. John wants for us what Dana wants for Levi, that we would be welcomed into their forever family, God's forever family. So this is the nature of eternal life. The eternal life was revealed. Right? The blinders were taken off. Eternal life was revealed. And eternal life was relayed. And the question is, has eternal life been received? Right? That offer of eternal life, the eyewitness accounts of the apostles have been handed down to us in God's word accurately, clearly, powerfully, with authority. This is the way to have eternal life. The question remains, will you receive it? Perhaps there's some here today who've never received the offer of eternal life. You've never looked to Jesus to be the Savior of your sins. And I have a dream today, like John had a dream, that you would respond to that offer of eternal life. As we turn to the Lord's table in just a moment, we're going to certainly hear be reminded again of Jesus' sacrifice for us. That is the source. That's the focal point. That's where life is to be found.